Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
We're motivated not out of just doing our duty. We're motivated by the great love that he has shown us and the love that we have back for him. Let me tell you, gang, please hear this, and I'm almost done. There is no better way to burn out in ministry than to serve him as if it's just your job. If you're just sort of mustering up the fire to, you know, to go out there and do something for God, you will hate it, you will not enjoy ministry, and you will burn out.
Well, there are times we have to push ourselves to perform certain tasks out of a sense of duty. You can't operate like that all the time. If you find that your ministry feels like an obligation and is stealing your joy, then your heart is in the wrong place. It's not that the activity is wrong, it could be exactly what God wants you to do, but if your heart is in it for the wrong reasons, you'll be miserable. Today, Pastor Michael will challenge us to make sure our hearts are in our calling and relying on Christ for our strength. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Colossians chapter 3 as he continues his message, Enjoying Ministry.
I'm trying to make a case to show you guys Jesus wasn't always a bummer. He had a serious mission to accomplish while on the planet. He did. I can't show you a Bible verse and it says, turn to this, and Jesus laughed. I can't show you that. But I'm telling you, gang, if he experienced and empathized with all of humanity and he experienced the things that we experience, I believe strongly that he enjoyed life and he enjoyed ministry. And I think we should too. We all have met Christians that have that solemn, somber look, right? We've all met people like that. I remember we had an usher at our church when we were in Iowa as youth pastors, and I was at a Hardee's. Maybe you've never heard of Hardee's. It's basically the Midwest version of Carl's Jr. And so I'm at Hardee's, and I met this dude who was a drug addict or whatever, and he saw me on my Harley, and so we started talking, and I had a Jesus shirt on, and I invited him to church. And so he comes to my church the next Sunday, and this usher, his name was Wilfred. And Wilfred was always there. He was, you know, 195 years old, and he would help people get seated, and Wilfred would be at the door, and this guy and his young family came into the church and they sat in the back row because they were freaked out. You know, they just met a dude at Hardee's and invited him to church. And I was up on the stage playing bass. I was, you know, we were there and before church, and I'm watching, and I watch Wilfred come up to this young family. I'm so excited that they're there. And I remember he leaned over and he said something and they all stood up and went out the door and left. So I took my bass off and I ran out to the parking lot. I was like, hey, what's going on? They're like, that guy told us that we were sitting in his seat. Dude, I was ready to lay hands on Wilfred. Suddenly and repeatedly. And I did, actually, and I didn't beat him up or nothing. I could have taken him, I think, but we called a board meeting and I was like, this cannot happen. We're never gonna see people come into our church if we treat people like that, right? We've all met Christians that just have, there's no joy. You know what the Bible says? But, and I don't have this up here, I'm just making this up as I go here now, but Bible says this, in his presence is fullness of joy. So if there's no joy, maybe his presence ain't around. Even when I look in the mirror. We've all met people like that. I've even met pastors and leaders like this. I was reading this, and I know there's a number of other pastors that watch this, so not trying to offend anybody, but you know, whatever. This is what I read. 70% of pastors today claim that they do not have one close friend in their church ministry. 70%. Why? And you know, we are seeing leaders all over America, all over the world, throwing in the towel and quitting and walking away from the ministry. And when they're asked by George Barna, the Barna Institute that does research on these kinds of things, when they are asked, why are you walking away? You know what one of the biggest answers is? It's just not satisfying. Everybody hates me. Everybody's critical of me. And so I'm done with this. Can I say it this way? There's no fun. So we have leaders. Here's the question I have. How, as a pastor, as a leader, how can I make an impact for the kingdom of God and bring glory to his great name and still have fun while doing it? How can we do that? A few years ago, I was an associate pastor in Colorado Springs. And it was a large church, about 3,000 people. And every once in a while, when the pastor was gone, he would ask me to fill the pulpit. So I only had to preach two or three times a year. It was great. My job was as an executive pastor was to just oversee the other ministries, okay? And there was three executive pastors at this church. It was pretty large. And so I oversaw certain departments and everything. And the other two executive pastors and I, we were good friends and things like that. Well, one night, because I was asked to preach the next weekend, I was staying in my office. They shut down the church and I was there till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. I'm still there in my office by myself in this big church and I'm studying. And I finally got tired and turned off the light and went out, locked up the church and left. And I didn't know it, but there was four men waiting for me in the parking lot. And so I didn't know this then. They were all on staff. One was the lead janitor named Dale. One was the worship pastor named Justin. One was a guy in the media department named Ryan. And the fourth one was some dude named Isom, who is now an associate pastor here. I can't believe I hired this guy. You met him earlier. So these four guys were waiting for me out in the parking lot. I didn't know it. And I got my car and I drove off and they went in. They somehow got my key from someone else and went into my office. And the other two executive pastors, they took all the stuff out, put it in the hallway, all the pictures off the wall, everything. They took pictures first of all of our offices, even the way we had things on the desk situated, and they put it all back but in each other's office. Does that make sense? So I went into, the next morning, I go into my office, and it looks exactly like Mark, the other executive. It looks like his office, and I'm like, what? And then, and James, and they had totally switched it. It was perfect, right? So I literally fall on the ground laughing. I think this is the greatest practical joke I've ever seen. Like, I'm busted. The other two executive pastors come in and they're ticked. And they're like calling a meeting right away. We can't waste our time like this. You guys need to come in and change this right away. And I remember I took them aside and I was like, guys, are you kidding me? Like, they did this on their own time. They're not doing this because they don't like us. They do it because they love us. Is it okay to enjoy the stinking ministry? And I almost said that word for word. And I no longer work there. Anyway, that's true. But goofing around a little bit today, but let me just say this, gang. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you're like, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not in full-time ministry or whatever. As we have been talking about throughout this series, we are all in full-time ministry. And the question I think for all of us, it's not just pastors, but for all of us is how can we make an impact where God has planted us? If you're a person that's pushing paper at work, or you're a real estate agent, or you're retired, or whatever you do, how can I make an impact for the master and bring glory to his great name and enjoy life while I'm doing it? That's the question, I think. And again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a minister. Amen? Wherever God has you, you're a minister. But I truly believe that we can all make an impact for God and have fun doing it. And you say, well, how, Michael? Great question. That's such a good question. Sandy, thank you for asking that. I'm going to give you three ways really, really quick, okay? And the first way, I'll just breeze on because we talk about it all the time. But here's the number one way. We got to allow God's word to speak into our lives. It all starts with God's word, right? I have up here Psalm 119, the first couple verses there, and it says, how happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according, and then do you see that says Lord's instruction? That's just another way of saying the Bible, okay? Happy are those who keep his decrees. His decrees are another way of saying the words of God. So what is that verse, those two verses saying? It's saying happy, or some versions say blessed, okay? Is the man and the woman who is allowing God's word to speak into their life. You with me? Listen, there's lots of philosophies and formulas and things that we can do to try to witness and that books have been written about, and all of that can be fine and hunky-dory, but I'm telling you, unless the word is speaking to our, I talked about this 2 weeks ago when Jesus and Peter were on the shore. I talked a little bit about this, but Jesus made sure that he fed Peter before asking him to go out and feed his sheep. And I made the point then, I'm going to make it again right now. How dare anybody ever go out and try to feed or minister to someone else until they have first been ministered to by God? We must be those that allow God's word first to speak into our hearts and into our lives before we ever try to go out and minister to other people. Amen? Big. So this is, I talk about it all the time. I'm just going to breeze over that, but you got to have God's word. The next two things are a little bit new I want to talk about, and I get them from Colossians, which is a New Testament book. And I want to read this to you in, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. I'll put it up here. Don't work only while being watched as people please. By the way, you ever worked with someone at a job and, they're just chilling out and talking all the time. And then the boss walks by and they're like, oh, and they're working. And you're like, dude, you haven't been working for the last 30 minutes. But the boss walked by. You see what I'm saying? This is what Paul is talking about right here. Don't just work when you're being watched like a people pleaser, but work, he says, wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. I believe that there are two keys in this verse right here, the wholeheartedly and from the heart, that are the key to you and I in the ministry that God's called us to. I don't care if you're an electrician, a plumber, whatever you do in life, these are keys to enjoying it for the Lord, okay? And the first thing is we serve the Lord wholeheartedly. That's a compound word, whole heart. But really in the original language, what it's saying is this. It's saying with a sincere heart. It's sincere. There's nothing fake about the way when you serve the Lord, there's no fakeness in it. You guys following me here? I'm going to tell you, the world right now, they look into the church and by a large part, they go, those people are fake. I remember as a kid, my dad was a pastor for a few years. He didn't last very long. He had a bad temper. But on the way to church one time, my dad was just screaming at my mom and us kids. And I was in the back seat and I was just shaking. My dad was screaming at us. We pull into church. And there's a guy in our church in the parking lot. And my dad's like, rah, 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 screaming. And we're like, my mom's crying. And my dad gets out of the car and he's like, hello, praise the Lord, brother. And shook that guy's hand. And I remember thinking, I'll never be a Christian. And I'll definitely never be a pastor. Because those dudes are phony baloney, man. And I do believe that when the world sees us saying something, but we don't live it, that they begin to see behind the curtain, or just some bald fat guy behind the curtain. Wholeheartedly, sincere, nothing fake about it. When we're serving the Lord, dude, we're all... Now, let me say this just as an aside here. And we all have bad days, amen? And sometimes you are called to minister and you're having a bad day. And that's just being real, okay? I remember I was my very first time ever being a senior pastor, we had a worship leader named Dennis, and they would come an hour and a half early and they would practice, the worship team would, and they were going, and I could tell Dennis was ticked. Like he was snapping at people on the worship team and everything. So I called a timeout. I was just walking around the sanctuary praying, and I said, Dennis, come here. And he's like, oh, we got to get this done. I go, no, you need to come here. So he put the guitar down and we went into the back and I was like, bro, what's up? What's going on? Nothing. And I go, no, there's something going on. No, listen, we got to get these songs practiced. I go, no, you don't. What's going on? Because you're not going to stand in front of my congregation with that kind of an attitude. And he goes, well, my wife and I got in a fight on the way here and I'm just not in a good mood. I was like, fine. Dude, I get in fights with my wife all the time. She beats me up. It's easy. She's very tough. It's okay, bro, to fight with your wife. But it's not okay for you to stand up here and phony baloney it. So I'm going to have you sit down with your wife today and I'll lead worship. And the whole congregation goes, ugh. Because I know like three chords and I wail, right? So, and I did that night. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, you know, worshiping my guts out. And we had church, was fine. But I remember looking out at Dennis holding his wife's hand and tears coming down his face. And afterwards, Dennis came up to me and he says, Pastor Michael, thank you for doing that, man. I needed to sit my butt down and not be up there. We all have bad days. It's okay to have a bad day. And when you do, sometimes you just say, hey, right now is not the moment for me. In those moments, we get before the Lord and we say, God, would you please soften my heart? We need to do that. Let me just say this. If you're in ministry and you continually finding yourself having a bad day, like every time it's your turn to serve in the nursery or whatever, and you're just having a bad day, if that's you and you're listening to me, let me tell you, do not ever blame your poor disposition on somebody else. get before the Lord and say, God, I don't know what it is about this. I don't know if you're calling me to go somewhere else or what, but I need you to change my heart. And God will do it, man. Does that make sense? But wholeheartedly, when we serve, the key, one of the keys to enjoying ministry is to make sure that when you do it, you're authentic and you're genuine. Amen? Amen. Now, the second thing I see in this is to serve the Lord. It says here, from the heart. In the NIV, it says, serve him enthusiastically. I like that. We are to serve. Basically, what that word it boils down to is this. When you serve God, be fully engaged. Like the Bible tells us, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you gotta be all in, pedal to the metal, engaged for the Lord. What this means is, don't just go through the motions. How many of you know it's absolutely possible to serve the Lord and just be going through the motions? It totally is. Even just as a Christian, I can just be going through the motions. I can sit up here on a stool and be preaching to people and just be going through the motions. But when we serve from the heart, it's like I am engaged in this thing. I am all in, pedal to the metal for God. Never refuse. I mean, just never settle. Let me say it that way. Refuse to settle for just surviving. If you're in survival mode, you need to get before the Lord and say, God, would you rekindle the flame in my heart again for this ministry that you have called me to? Amen? And it happens at times. We all find ourselves just sort of looking at ministry maybe as our duty or our job. Man, listen, if you're listening to me and you are in a ministry and you're just looking at it as your job, bro, please, get before the Lord and say, God, rekindle a flame in my heart to do the thing that you planted me on the planet for. Give me that heart. Amen. If you remember Jesus one time, it is so hot, you guys. I am like losing weight in front of you. It's awesome. I need it so bad. I'm like trying to do something. If you remember one time, Jesus was talking to a bunch of Christians in the city of Ephesus. And it's in the last book of the Bible. In the book of Revelation, I gotta read it to you. He says this, Jesus is talking, he says, I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, the name of Jesus. He's going, I get it, dude. You've been working for the kingdom, for my, you've been enduring and persevering and people are mocking you. Literally walking into the church, mocking us. I get it, you're enduring. But he says this, and you've not grown weary in doing that, but I have this thing against you. You've abandoned the love that you had at first. This is an amazing verse. Look at this real quick. I get that you are working. I get that you are being a champion and you're not giving up. I get it, I respect that so much. One thing I got against you though, man, this is it though, because you guys are doing so good, but you don't love me like you used to. And you know what this verse tells me? It tells me this, that God is not as interested in what I am doing as he is interested in my heart and how much I am loving. You see, it's possible to just be doing ministry. It's possible to wear the Christian t-shirt, to put the cross around my neck or put Christian tattoos all over you. It's possible to put on the show, but my heart could be far from God. It's all motivated from love. Does that make sense? So we serve the Lord enthusiastically. We're all in, we're totally engaged, but the thing that motivates us is not, well, this is my duty. How many times, dude, have you gone to a church where the leader stands up or someone stands up and says, we are dying in the nursery. We need help, please, for the love of God. If you don't want to burn, come and help us change poop, you know? And so you're like, okay, I guess if I sign up and I only have to do it once every 3 months, I'll sign up and praise the Lord, you know? And I'm being a little facetious, but I've said those kinds of things. Man, I'm done doing that. I'm just be honest with you. I am done asking for help. If God puts it on our hearts, may we be those that are motivated because of the great love that he has shown to us. We gotta serve him in some way. Does that make sense? You can't have some Christian come to work with you and say, hey, there's the lady. You need to go talk to her. You're gonna have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and jump when he says move. You're gonna have to. Amen? and do it enthusiastically. You're motivated not out of guilt. We're motivated not out of just doing our duty. We're motivated by the great love that he has shown us and the love that we have back for him. Let me tell you, gang, please hear this, and I'm almost done. There is no better way to burn out in ministry than to serve him as if it's just your job. If you're just sort of mustering up the fire to, you know, to go out there and do something for God, you will hate it, you will not enjoy ministry, and you will burn out. And if you don't believe me, there's two guys in the Old Testament I want you to ask, and then we're all done, okay? Leviticus, a lot of you are probably reading this morning. Listen to this, chapter 10, okay? Just two verses, Leviticus 10. Aaron, who was the high priest, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, each took his own fire pan. He put fire in it, placed incense on it, and presented unauthorized fire. The King James says they presented strange fire, unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them to do. Verse 2, then fire came from the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Talk about burning out in the ministry. Dude, these guys are just, they're all excited. They're gonna do what dad does, man. He's the high priest, man. We're gonna go and serve the Lord. Whoa! So they get their little fire pans. That's what the high priest does, right? And they get the fire and they wave it around and the incense and they're gonna do it, dude. They're so excited. And fire from heaven takes them out. Burnout in the ministry. Why did that happen? Well, if you look at Leviticus chapter 16, it's too much to go into, but I'm going to tell you that they were commanded by God to only get the fire from one particular altar called the brazen altar. And they had to get it. The brazen altar had a flame that was continually burning. It never burned out. So they were supposed to. That's what the Lord's command was, but take it from there. These guys apparently didn't do that. They took out their Bic lighter. They started it up themselves. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make our own fire. And God's like, no. No, I'm not having that. You're going to get the fire like I told you to get the fire from me. Now, why am I telling this? Because I'm telling you, gang, the quickest way to burn out in the minute. And by the way, again, every one of you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not, ignore me. But if you believe in Jesus, bro, you are called to serve him, obey him, love him, be a light on a hill for him. Be salt, adding flavor everywhere you go. There's so many scriptures. You are ambassadors for Christ. If you're a believer, you are called to be a minister. And the best way to burn out in ministry is to try to make it happen in your own strength and not go to the Lord. Just, it's my job. I got to make this happen. Dude, we got to humble ourselves and say, God, would you rekindle the fire in my heart? Does that make sense? Amen. Gang, may you and I be those that shine for the master everywhere we go. Amen? By letting his word direct our lives. I know we live in a time where people only read the Bible when they come to church. Man, get into the word of God. You don't know how to talk to that lady at your workplace that just got divorced and she's totally bummed every day she comes. You don't know. You're like, I need to say something. I don't know what to say. Open up the Bible. Do one of these. Watch what guy just turned to the concordance. Don't do that. Never mind. Elijah. Open up the word of God. I promise you he'll speak to you, man. And he'll give you by his spirit and through his word. He'll guide and direct your life. May we be people that are authentic. It's coming from the sincere heart. We're nothing fake about us. If we're having a bad day, take some time to get alone with the Lord and let him renew us and rejuvenate us. And may we be fully engaged, enthusiastically doing the thing that God's called you to do and me to do. Amen?
A person's heartbeat serves as a sign of life. But when it comes to the church, what signs of life should we be looking for? Jesus answered that question for us during the last days of his life when he was speaking to his disciples. In John 13, verses 34 to 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's hard enough to love the other people within your same church walls, but what about when it comes to other churches? Does Jesus truly expect us to love them too? What if they act, dress, or look differently than we do? The world is watching, and they don't care if you're wearing a suit and a tie or shorts and flip-flops. What they're going to see is the love, or lack of love, between us. Together, we make up the body of Christ. Are you exhibiting this sign of life for the world to see? It's been great to spend time with you today. We're so glad you've chosen to spend your time this way. When the world sees you loving others within the body of Christ, they're going to start asking questions. Be ready with our evangelizing tool, Something Missing. You can find it online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. Burning Hearts is a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. On our website, you can learn about us and where to find our live stream services. Well, it's been great. We'll see you here again next time on Burning Hearts.